Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
You're in the madhouse now.
Star Wars 7x7, episode 3534. The Return is episode 5 from season 3 of The Bad Batch. It's a significant one, too, and we're going to do our patented 7 takeaway breakdown episode today. Punch it. Hey, Rebel Rouser, I'm Alan Boyvada, and this is Star Wars 7x7, your daily dose of Star Wars joy, and thank you so much for joining me for it. Thank you so much to the patrons who help support the creation and production of this show at patreon.com/sw7x7. Those sevens are numbers both times. And there's a special treat for patrons of the show at our Patreon right now. The kind folks at Insight Editions gave me a little preview of the massive Return of the Jedi, a visual archive book that's coming out later this year. And so there are some internal spreads that I got to share with patrons of the show. So if you're a patron and listening to the show, then head over there and check them out. And if you're not yet a patron, well, you know where to go. All right, we're here to talk about The Return, which is episode 5 of season 3 of The Bad Batch. This is our patented 7 takeaway breakdown. We're going to start with our high-level overview of the episode, which has to do with the Bad Batch having returned to Pabu for a little rest and relaxation, and they have Nala Se's data pad, which could possibly give them a lead on where Tantus is to help free the rest of their clone brothers, and maybe sister if Emery wants to come along. But unfortunately, they can't get it to work. The Imperial encryption, too tough, and it's also even tougher to break since they don't have tech, which leads to a moment of silence among the members of the batch and Echo, who has come along for the ride. But they figure out that there is another way to break the encryption. Crosshair says, hey, we just need to bring it into an Imperial station. I know a pretty good one for that. And so they end up back on Barton 4, which is the place where Crosshair broke the first time in that episode, The Outpost. And so they go there, and of course there's a lot of action, and they're able to decrypt the data pad, but it really just has medical information from Nala Se, which kind of makes sense. No schematics of the Mount Tantus facility and no additional information about its location, but they do learn that there are a lot more clones there than they had previously thought. They don't give us a number in the episode. They just say, yeah, wow, there's a lot more than, you know, we had any idea were there. The next few takeaways, I want to focus on each of the characters of the Bad Batch individually. I'm going to start with Wrecker for our second takeaway of the episode. Somehow, fascinatingly enough, Wrecker is turning into the character who is the most emotionally intelligent of the male members of the Bad Batch, at least. For a comparatively simplistic character, you could make the argument that he's been presented that way. There's very much a kind of, you know, joyful Hulk smash kind of vibe, a very childlike wonder to the way he approaches things, which is why he bonded so quickly with Omega, of course. He's the one to be able to make a first gesture of peace and reconciliation to Crosshair by offering Crosshair his old armor and saying it just didn't feel right to get rid of it, and then being enthusiastic and cheerful seeing Crosshair in his armor and saying, yeah, it still fits. And then, of course, running out to greet Crosshair and Hunter after they return safely from their adventures near the end of the episode and wrap them both up in a big bear hug. This is as opposed to Hunter, who for our third takeaway, I would have said would be more sensitive in nature, especially considering his particular adaptation. And yet, you know, that sensitivity is playing out as a, you know, very wounded kind of situation. He's taking the whole situation very personally, and maybe it has something to do with the fact that he feels guilty about having lost Omega in the first place. That probably hits really close to home when Crosshair calls him on that. I don't know if Hunter necessarily cares about the fact that Crosshair was the one who freed Omega per se, but certainly, yeah, the behavior that Hunter exhibits in this episode is actually, it almost feels a little regressive for him in a way. But he was also a person who had to be convinced that Crosshair was still worth saving. Then you have Omega for our fourth takeaway. And yeah, this is another one of those episodes. We talked about this a little bit in the past about how one of the things that happens a lot in the Bad Batch is they tell Omega no, and Omega says, but blah, 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 yes. And they kind of go, okay, yes. So yeah, this is another one of those situations where she just says, you know, hey, we just got back together and you're breaking us up again. And everybody's like, okay, yeah, bring her along. So yeah, the bar over which that happens is generally consistently set pretty low. Though at least it does get addressed because Crosshair says to Omega, hey, don't take it personally, like you're capable, but you're just a kid and he just wants to keep you safe. And that actually displays a level of emotional intelligence from Crosshair that is, you know, heretofore lacking in previous iterations of our experience with Crosshair. And that's actually what I want to focus on for our fifth takeaway, which is the fact that Crosshair as a character has been a very reticent kind of character. He is a man of few words and just lets his actions speak for themselves. Even when he has the opportunity to potentially give a useful answer to something, he tends to prefer, you know, taking shots at people figuratively instead. So it's actually perfect that this episode brings us to Barton 4, because this is the place that broke Crosshair the first time. And if he's going to mend fences with Hunter, it's gonna have to break him again, because as Omega points out, he's going to have to learn to talk about what's going on with him and why things happened the way that they did. Obviously, we see that softening happen because he does have a moment with Hunter at the end where he says that, you know, he knows he's made mistakes and he thought he was trying to be a good soldier, and Hunter recognizes this move and at least, you know, says something to meet the moment. But the softening actually starts to happen a little bit right after they escape safely from danger near the end of the episode in the snow when they collapse, and then Batcher comes over and nuzzles at Crosshair. Crosshair actually reaches out and pets Batcher, and I think this is the first bit of tenderness that Crosshair has demonstrated to Batcher at all. So yeah, you can see that the armor is starting to crack for him. And speaking of Crosshair's development, I'll kick into my sixth takeaway, which is that the episode sets up the possibility that his return to form as a sniper is actually possible. So we've been talking in previous episodes about how, you know, Crosshair may have to discover a new role, a new identity for himself now that he is out, and maybe his sniper skills aren't what they used to be. However, in conversation with Omega, he talks about how, you know, being a sniper isn't necessarily just about being a good shot. It's about patience and awareness of your surroundings and also knowing when other people are watching you. And by doing that, the creators of the Bad Batch are basically laying pieces of the foundation that would allow Crosshair to get his groove back for all intents and purposes. And then they show it in action on Barton 4 when that giant ice worm shows up and he's able to fire some successful shots at it. And so that brings us actually to our seventh and final takeaway, which is, man, what a week to have a Bad Batch episode where there's a giant worm that's tunneling under the ice just a few days after the debut of Dune Part 2 in theaters. I mean, it's just crazy, and it does put you in mind of how much George Lucas was inspired by the original Dune, as in Frank Herbert's novel Dune back in the day. And speaking of our previous conversations about dangerous creatures in the Bad Batch, it's pretty funny that Wrecker's like, why does there always have to be a huge monster? And so here we are with, by my count now, it's 20 out of the 37 episodes of the Bad Batch that have featured some sort of creature that was posing a danger to our characters' lives, and usually a very enormous one. There's also an interesting reversal of Dune's concept around the sandworms, right? When they put those thumpers in the ground that attract the sandworms, and the beacons that are down in the ice actually look vaguely similar, but they are sending out a high frequency noise that actually keeps the ice worms away. So yeah, interesting twist there. So that's what I've got for you on our patented 7 takeaway breakdown for The Return, which is episode 5 from season 3 of The Bad Batch, and that is going to do it for this episode of the podcast. If you enjoy the show and you think other people should have a daily dose of Star Wars joy like this in their lives, I hope you will consider doing any or all of these three things that can help more people find the show. One of them is leaving a rating or review on your favorite app if you haven't done that already. Another is hitting the subscribe or like or follow or join button, whatever the app you use has. And another is just telling other Star Wars fans that you know that this Daily Dose of Star Wars joy exists for them. And it just remains for me to say thank you so much for joining me for this episode. As always, may the Force be with you, wherever in the world you may be.
7x7 is not endorsed or sponsored yet by Lucasfilm Limited, Disney, or 20th Century Fox, and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. Star Wars, the Star Wars logo, all names and pictures of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars-related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. May the Force be with them. All original content is copyrighted by Star Wars 7x7. We hope you love it.
The drive to go further and reach higher. The same thing that inspires you inspires us. At Strayer University, we're always searching for new ways to make education more affordable. That's why we offer access to up to 10 no-cost gen ed courses to help you save time and money so you can keep striving. Visit strayer.edu to learn more. No-cost gen eds provided by Strayer University affiliate Sophia Learning. Eligibility rules apply. Connect with us for details. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV.